You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. If you miss anything, remember to go to kvoi.com for podcasts. And anything that you thought I might have said that was offensive, kvoi.com. A couple of announcements. Tonight is the Oral Valley Town Council Forum. It's the only one that I think is going to happen. I don't know if the Sun Cityites usually do one, but I haven't heard of one. But if someone's heard of one in Sun City, let me know. It's going to be put on by the Oral Valley Chamber. It's at the Oral Valley Church of the Nazarene over on Calle Concordia, just west of CDO High School. There's meet and greet at 5:15, council candidates at 6, and then Danny Sharp and Joe Winfield, mayor candidates at 7:15. So remember that. That's tonight. I'll definitely be going to that. And then remember, July 12th is our happy hour. It's at Rocco's Little Chicago. He's been suffering under one of the worst City of Tucson projects ever, which just keeps going on. I don't know if it's at least running a year and a half, I think, late maybe, but it's still not done. They just announced another 5 months. So we're calling it the Road Ain't Done Yet happy hour at Rocco's to support him. July 12th, 5:30. Please join us. A lot of you have been asking me for my primary endorsements. That's not going to happen until after 4th of July. So you'll have it right when early ballots come out in the primaries, which I think is July 6th is when they're going to start getting mailed. So, and then this Friday is the second mock election for the Pima County eBooks new system. That was a total screw up last Friday. So I'm sure it'll all work out in the end, as we say. So you heard Bruce Ash just about 30 seconds ago. Bruce, welcome back, sir.
Great show so far. I think it's going to get better as we close out the show today.
You keep saying that. So yeah. I like your enthusiasm. Or, as Robert De Niro said in The Untouchables, the twosiasms. So. And our friend Elaine Beck's here, Blessing Through Actions. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm just thrilled. You know me. I'm not an excitable person at all.
True.
I'm just really thrilled to be here. Really excited about having a great conversation today.
The wallflower, Elaine Beck, as we say. So Elaine, a few years ago, someone said this thing was happening at this nice office in Oral Valley called Blessings Through Action. And I just came and I was fascinated and we got to talk and become friends, just talking and working on a few things together. What is Blessings Through Action now that you're in your fourth year?
Well, it has, what would you call it? Morphed. you know, God has given me this by a vision 4 years ago. And he left the door open about what we should do. And now we are doing something really wonderful. And it's become a community, something for not just Oro Valley, not just Tucson, but outlying areas. It's become a place where we're trying our best to do some things for this entire area, mainly the Tucson area. To help the people that are in need.
Yep.
Some of you may know, some of you don't know, I had cancer last year. I basically shut everything down for about 9 months. When God said, open it again, and we did, we started anew and realized that, reaching out to the people had to be done in a different way. For those of you that don't know it, our first attempt was an app on the phone for Christians, which was a great idea. I regret it.
I love the idea. I'm actually sad it's not here.
Yeah, and the reason it's not here, though, is everybody knows what has happened with our voice on the internet. They've shut us down. They've shadow banned us. They made it miserable and uncomfortable and saw to it that we couldn't grow. Well, you know, growth is necessary for people to hear and see what's reality. And they don't want the common person to know what the reality of what's happening in our country right now. And they haven't for several years. So we were a victim to that. But we don't ever have a victim mentality. Amen. We just see what better way we can go. And the better way that we can go is to make sure that we reach out to our community. And it's so great what God has put on our heart recently. So I'm excited to be able to tell everybody that a few months back, we started buying up condos to put people on fixed incomes, particularly seniors, whether they are on a fixed income because they're a veteran or they're a senior of age, where all of a sudden, as we know, the economy has shifted horribly, and many people are living in housing rentals or whatever, and all of a sudden their rent goes up $200, $300, $500 a month. You're on a fixed income. Exactly where do you get that other money?
Right.
You can't. And so I decided that I was going to buy up some condos to put some of these people in, and found out even that's difficult because there's not that many out there.
That's true.
And where they are aren't exactly in the best places.
That's true too.
And so then God said to me, Elaine, you've got to do something more permanent and more stable and more, you know, just obvious. And isn't it amazing how God works his timing? And so at that point, I'm very close to my pastor at the Tucson Baptist Church. And I speak to him about everything, obviously, as we all should do, you know, be close to your pastor and talk to him. He's a great support. And mine is particularly that way with me. And so I said to him, I said, what if we take some acreage and that we know about, and we build on there some housing for seniors that is not for people in a, you know, they're not disabled, they're not to the point where they need to be in a nursing home or something. But instead, they're still healthy, and they've lived all their life, and they deserve something decent. Let's make them some little apartments and give them some community center and stuff to this building. And let's set it up here in Tucson so that people can, you know, pay $450 or $500 a month and still have some living money left out of that fixed income, so they can afford to go to a movie or go out to dinner or order in once in a while. I mean, these people have they're stuck right now. They're getting nothing, and they're going downhill.
Hold that thought for a sec. We got to go to break, and we'll do one more segment with Elaine, talk about this exciting project to help folks out and that are in a lower income, that try to improve some lives in this town. There's a lot of misery out there, but Elaine's trying to make it better for a bunch of them out there. So I appreciate this. The last time you guys were talking about this, it was the idea that we did the Easter services,
yes,
radio thing with Bruce, your company, right?
Right.
And Blessings to Action. Remember when no one could have church, so we were doing the simulcast on the radio stations?
Right.
This is the crew that made it happen. So
yeah, we were the team.
You are correct. All right. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson with Elaine Beck, Bruce Ash, and Christy Simone. Wake up.
Oh, Three Dog Night by request.
All right. We're doing teas on the Summer Bump Music Festival here. Christy Simone, Bruce Ash, and our friend Elaine Beck is here from Blessings Through Action. Remember, tomorrow we got Pat from Sun Street, Ted from Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and then U.S. Congressman Andrew Biggs.
Nice.
Elaine's telling us about how she you have a piece of land,
right,
that you're hopefully going to be on in the kind of central part of Tucson.
Exactly.
You're going to build some housing for seniors, fixed income seniors, that mm-hmm. they can live in dignity and respect.
Amen.
And also have a few bucks afterwards to, you know, buy a chicken parmesan someplace once in a while for dinner.
Stouffer's.
Don't say Stouffer's.
I knew I'd get a rise out of you.
But then, especially with what went down last Friday with the Dobbs case, I've been saying the last couple of days that the pro-life side, you got what you asked for. Now you're going to have to step up and provide support and services for all of these mothers that you don't want them to have an abortion. So tell us about the second part of this, because, I mean, you planned this well before you even knew Dobbs was going to happen.
Absolutely. So, I even planned this well before the leak, supposed leak,
right,
on the possibility that it would happen. I realized quite a while ago that, you know, it's up to the churches, not just my church, but all the churches, to understand that we need to support young people, because mistakes are made. We're all sinners, are we not? And these young people get caught up in the motion, and then the next thing you know, you've got a young lady standing there who is going to have a child, and they don't know where to turn. And some families are wonderful, and they step right up with their child, and their church backs them, and everybody's good, and that child ends up having a good life. Not all that often, though, I'm sorry to say.
Correct.
More often, this young girl now is going to find herself in a place where she doesn't know where to turn, and our goal is to give her a place to turn. So we want to build something. We're going to actually go to Pennsylvania next week, my pastor and I, and meet with an organization that my husband and I have supported for years called Christ's Home up in Pennsylvania. And they've done all of these things, from the senior to the teenagers to the unwed mothers. And so we are going to build a dormitory type living environment so they can actually come and stay someplace, be loved, bring in other organizations through the churches, through whatever we have here in town, and whatever we can come up with to help them and support them and help them find jobs and do whatever they need to do to become that young mother, or to give them the peace of mind that they can make a decision to adopt the child out. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. And I think I would have told you 5 years ago that the churches in Tucson don't play well together. They have their own little silos, right? But we just had Lisa on from Gospel Rescue Mission, and they've built this beautiful center for opportunity with Bert's help over there, Bert
right.
Lopez, right?
Right.
And there are multi-faith organizations who are all working together to try to change lives there. So maybe that's kind of the precedent that maybe what you're trying to do to help not just these fixed income seniors, but again, unwed mothers who need the support to either keep their baby or adopt the baby out to a family who a lot of these families desperately would love to have to adopt a baby.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is these young ladies, you know, it's going to change their whole life. But we have to remember it's for a blessing, and it's in a good way. Even the ones that decide to give their children up for adoption, you know, I have a grandson that's adopted, and I've got nieces and nephews that adopted children. And I'll tell you what, that is one of the greatest blessings for any family, to have a child in it where they are loved because they were chosen by someone, and that someone needed and had love to give and was able to give it to a child.
I think a question I've never asked you before, because I remember this when we first met 4 years ago, you were talking, I knew you already had a couple of houses where you were helping unwed mothers.
Right.
Right? Why is this, why you have so many things on your plate and things you could try to alleviate the misery. Why is the unwed mother so important to Elaine Beck?
Well,
because this is something you've been working on for a while.
Yeah, it starts out with the fact that I was abused when I was growing up. You know, my mother came from a very horrible background. She was abused terribly, much worse than I. And she got married when she was 15. And it basically, you know, caused her to have a lot of emotional conflict. And she took that conflict out on one of her five daughters. Not that the other ones didn't feel it. Believe me, they did. But I seem to have been the major target. And that's okay, because as we spoke earlier, God does these things to teach us and to make us the people that we are. He wants to mold us to serve him. And that's what he's done. And I serve him now. And I'm going to serve him by helping more of the houses that we talked about before are actually for abused women and children that need to get away from abusive situations. And in that case, after being abused at home, I was abused in my first marriage for 17 and a half years, physically and mentally abused. I mean, I've had a gun held to my head. I've been kicked across the floor. I've been knocked downstairs. I know what it's like to be abused and have children. So I ended up raising three children on my own. And so I have such love and respect for women that are left in that same position, whether it's through abuse or it's through being young and making a bad choice. They still deserve to be loved. That's what God wants us to do.
Amen. How can the Wake Up Tucson listeners kind of keep abreast of the situation, but also support what you're doing?
Well, obviously, a lot of people don't know this, but I have a radio show too. It's called It's Not About Us, and it's on 960 The Patriot out of Phoenix.
Yep.
But don't let that stop you or think you can't listen to it.
Listen to it online.
Yeah, after the show is aired, then it goes on ProverbsMediaGroup.com. Again, that's Proverbs, like in the Bible, MediaGroup.com. Just scroll down the page and hit listen now, and all of my shows will come up, and you'll hear wonderful people like Ben Carson, Jim Jordan. Alveda King is going to be on this Saturday, so you'll love that show.
That's great.
My show, It's Not About Us, is pretty obvious, the title, but the main thing is we are there to share the good news, and that's what I'm trying to do, is let you all know on my show and here today that we're doing this because God loves all of us, and we all need to work together. All of you pastors out there that are listening or have a pastor, somebody who your pastor is, speak to them and tell them there's an opportunity to help with this because you love your families. And you can also reach us on It's Not About Us 2022 at gmail.com. Again, that's It's Not About Us 2022 at gmail.com. You can reach us there and tell us comments about what you think about what we're doing, how we're doing it, ideas. If you have support for it in any way, you can even start mailing checks. We're going to have a great, in November, we're planning a fundraiser.
All right.
It's going to be huge. We got some great guests. Can't tell you who they are now, but let me tell you, you are going to be blown away by what God is doing.
All right. We got to get going.
Yeah.
All right. So remember, again, Blessings Through Action. Do they have a website also? Then go there.
Actually, we do everything through Proverbs Media Group.
All right. Go to ProverbsMediaGroup.com to find out more.
Yes.
Great seeing you again.
Thank you.
Great project.
Thank you. God bless you.
Keep up the good work.
Yes. And
Bonnie Tyler on a T-Bump Music Day. Holding out for a hero. I think this should be the Rodney Glassman theme song when he comes out, is this one, I Need a Hero.
God.
Now, a lot of you are confused. And Bruce Ash, good morning. Welcome back, sir.
Hi.
So a lot of you are, you know, you hear these great commercials for Glassman. Rodney, it sounds like a Vin Diesel movie. Rodney Glassman is going to protect you from evil and all that other stuff, right? So I was looking at, it says endorsed by six different law enforcement agencies, right? So I just want to tell you, now I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you. I just want to tell you who they are. You can make your own decision. They are credible places, but I think it's not the biggins that are all over Rodney, okay? So it's the Professional Firefighters Association, okay. That's why I heard Taylor Carter from Fire Truck said he loved Rodney. Now I'm starting to figure it out. The Chandler Lieutenants Association.
Wow, what, seven of them?
The Phoenix Sergeants and Lieutenants.
84.
Prescott Police Association. Flagstaff Law Enforcement. El Mirage. And Buckeye. And then a couple, and the Maricopa Colleges Police Association. So he does have several, I don't know why. I don't know what they've learned about Rodney.
Not exactly the tip of the spear in the law enforcement field.
Just wanted to say that. But when I heard Matt playing Holding Out for a Hero, I thought of, that'd be perfect. I see Rodney Glassman coming out the stage.
I can see it.
Look
right
at me, baby.
I wish we had the little stupid camera working right now so they could see you with your arms up in the air, uplifted. I'm Rodney, and I'm here to save everybody.
So I've said it on the air before, but I'll say it again. Okay. I think Rodney Glassman, when he was a city council guy, I figured him out pretty early, right? Is he's an absolute narcissist. Okay.
Gosh, you think?
I just, you know, just took a little guess, right? And so I told Higgins, my co-host at the time, if you know Joe, I did used to, I said, I'm going to ignore Rodney for 30 days as if he doesn't exist and see how he responds to that. So Joe and I used to do something called Cocktails and Conversations at a place called McMahon's Steakhouse, if you guys remember McMahon's.
A blast from the past.
All right. So we're in the piano bar, right? And our guests of honor were Rodney Glassman and Nina Trasoff. Okay? And so what happens is Rodney gets there a little late, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to Nina Trasoff, no matter how painful it is, right? And then Rodney gets up, and I just turn my back, and I'm like, I brought something to read, right? And then it's over, right? And then he's like, hey, buddy, what's going on? And I totally don't respond to him. And totally ignore him.
Well, you're in your 30 days of non-Rodney.
Correct, right? So what happened was, he's like, hey, buddy, hey, what's going on? So then he follows me to the bathroom. And I'm doing my thing.
Now you're weirding me out.
Absolutely. And he's like, hey, what's going on? Why don't you talk to me? And, you know, he's offering me his personal cell phone number instead of the city of Tucson cell phone, all that jazz. And so what happened was I saw him a couple of more times that month, same thing. And then I saw him, like, it was day 32. And we happened, I said, hey, buddy, what's going on? He goes, what? Well, I thought you weren't talking to me. I go, no, it was just an experiment to see how stupid you would get because I didn't acknowledge your existence. And he played right into it. So Mr. Glassman in California and the fertilizer empire there, just hug that kid a little more. He didn't get it the first 48 years. So, Bruce Ash, Paul Ash Management, you're in the commercial real estate world as part of what you do.
We are.
What's the state of the union out there? What's going on with, you know, we keep hearing, are people coming back to offices and all? What's the state of the union right now in commercial real estate?
So we primarily deal in retail and industrial.
Right.
Industrial, there's hardly a vacancy anywhere. And there are places in Tucson where people really do work and come to make things. and that's a great thing to see.
That's true.
And there's, like I said, hardly any space available for new users. And there's some pretty significant new industrial being built around the airport on the west side. So we'll see, you know, how the market shapes up. The other is on retail. And there's also very little available. We made it a point during COVID to make sure that we helped partner with our retail merchants to get them through it. I think that goodwill has paid off because they're still in business, and we've developed a relationship in partnership. And so, you know, business is good, and you know, collections are high. There's hardly any kind of delinquency at all.
So what happened in the world of collections during the coronavirus? What happened there? Was it were you forgiving months and popping it on the back end of the lease? What was going on there?
Well, I think we were one of the largest donors, at least in our area, thank you very much, to retail survival.
Hold on, one more.
so you know, it works both ways. I mean, if you develop that kind of a relationship, you know, we think that the people who we borrow money from, there are debt partners. People who invest with us, they are partners as well in buying things and selling things and so on. Being a partner with your retail merchant or industrial user, whatever you happen to be in, these are important relationships. It's not just fixing the roof when the roof needs to be fixed or pulling the weeds. Those are easy things to do. But taking money out of your pocket and giving it to them, that's where the rubber meets the road. So a lot of people did what we did, and I think that they are seeing the results of it. I think Larson Baker Company as well was engaged in that, and it did help get a lot of merchants through a very, very rough time when not only did the business drop to practically zero, but they didn't know where tomorrow was going to lead as well.
And I assume rents on the retail side are running pretty high?
They are higher. And again, I mean, we, you know, maybe we're not the smartest guys around, but we, you know, I'd rather have a property that was a little higher higher occupancy, even if it's a lower rent, because we want people to stay. It's the constant turnover that really kills you, whether you're in multifamily or in retail.
So what are you seeing in relation to with inflation, price of gas, all this stuff? Are you hearing the cash flow blues from any of your tenants yet? Because I asked that question of my restaurateurs, and they they're hurting.
It's really just starting to occur because some of that increase came during 2021. So they're now getting CAM reconciliations from us that make up for the difference in what we collected and what we actually spent. I think next year will be really the big year where some of the merchants begin saying, what the hell is going on? And again, through the years, we've always been amongst the lower cost landlords to be doing business with, because we always appeal real estate taxes, we aggressively shop for insurance, and we're working with vendors and service providers who have been with us for a long time. They give us the great rates because we're there for them thick or thin.
What about, I know you don't have, you have some office, right?
Some, and what we have is full right now.
What are we hearing overall in that market?
Honestly, Chris, because I don't really work in that arena, I'm not as much aware. You would think, though, that there probably is more vacancy than what there was a couple of years ago. We're certainly going in that direction. I have two children my son and daughter-in-law who work in offices. They work in bigger organizations.
Right.
My daughter-in-law is there once a week, and she's in a very big position with this company. And my son, who works for the FAA, they took his office away from him, said, you're going to manage your team remotely. They're all around the country. And if you have to come into HQ, you're going to call us or email us in advance and get a reservation for a space to work at.
Wow. Makes no sense.
It's going to make a lot of GSA property owners unhappy when leases when leases aren't renewed.
I was going to say,
luckily we're out of that field. We had probably a million or so square feet of GSA leaseback properties, and we sold that around 2015.
Smart move, young man. Smart move. With some of our restaurant buddies, Sam sent me this, Alboy. This is from the Restaurant Association. So moving parts of a restaurant, as we know, are
it's like a ballet. Everything's moving at the same time.
So according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they're talking about the Producer Price Index, wholesale food prices in the last 12 months are up almost 16% right now. Right. So if you're going to start trying to maintain food costs and keep this weird word called profits in there, it gets to be kind of a dance, right? When you look at then what you're raising your prices, right? In a city like Tucson, where the per capita income is $24,000 and change, this becomes quite a challenge.
Well, you're going to get smaller portions, or you're going to get increased prices when you ring up your dinner.
I
love the thing that you posted on your Facebook yesterday with something called Nugs. I thought it was, I said in my reply, is joke? Because I never heard of anything like that. What is that stuff?
So I'm always terrified and / fascinated by any of these things that are fake meats that they make out of something else. Right? Thank you. Well, and I remember we had those guys, the Real Food Fake Food authors, on talking about the cheap thing that's called Parmesan cheese in the green can.
Oh.
Actually has something in it that's kind of a wood shaving in there, because it's got to keep it from...
That was the crunchy thing?
That was the anti-cake. I think it's part of the anti-caking, as we say, is you get your wood shavings in there. Thank Jesus. So I'm in Fry's yesterday on Lambert and La Canada, as we like to call it. And I look to the right because it's a striking picture. Striking picture. It's called Simulate. First of all, I love the idea that they put the word simulate in. No bull crap. We're simulating something. Right,
truth in packaging.
And then for some reason they're feeding something that looks like a chicken nugget to a chicken. So are they.
You You know, your loaf of bread is like a half a loaf these days. Your eggs are now fake. I mean, it's like we're turning into this fake world.
Yeah, that was
chemicals, I guess, are still at a reasonable price.
Yeah, again, shopping right now is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, man. And that's the other part too, right? Is those extra meals that you might have gone to your favorite local restaurateur, it's still cheaper. They're still going, you know, if you get a package of chicken for $8 or $10 or whatever, instead of going out for 56, that's where the rubber's going to meet the road.
So all the people who don't like eating leftovers, are we maybe beginning to change some of the way that we run our households? I mean, we've always been, I love leftovers, cold pizza, cold Chinese food,
right?
You know, steak that's left over from the prior night, or chicken, whatever it is. We know plenty of people, I don't eat leftovers. You know what?
What?
If they say something
I got it. You Tucson country clubbers. Damn
Stop
you.
Stop it. So they say that approximately 15% of the American population today are newly skipping a meal. So we know that some very, very, you know, income challenged folks have been doing that for a long, long time.
Sure.
There are people who are saying, you know what, I think I'll skip lunch or I'll skip breakfast or whatever it happens to be.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's just the reality.
That
of
was the
we're
report
at.
Last week that came out that 10% of Americans are now skipping a meal during the day because they can't afford it.
Right. It's not because they're trying to diet, okay? They can't afford it. We have products coming from Europe that we can't, whether it is tampons or if it is Similac. Yeah. They're sending us their products because we don't seem to be able to do it today.
I got Mexico airlifting Similac to us because we can't do baby formula in this country. It's wild times.
It is.
I just got to do it once. I got to do my Yacht Rock voice for the people that don't. I'm not eating leftovers anymore. That's what I felt like. So I love leftovers. I love figuring out what to do with the leftovers next. That's the fun part. Right? Whatever I got, I'm going to figure out how to make it in, not just reheat it in the mic. How do I make it that extra something different the next day?
I came back to town the other day with a package for my wife, spaghetti from Saturday night.
Right.
Okay. And four Italian sausages.
Right.
Okay. I had a great meal Monday night.
Did you eat all four Italian sausages?
I have stuff for lunch today and for tomorrow.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, we've done it all today. We've covered all the big ones, even including Bruce and I eating leftovers. So
nothing better. You know, it steeps. The taste steeps in the food product the longer it is.
I'm with you. Yes, Matthew.
I did see something on TV that I thought was noteworthy. So we're trying to get Similac onto the store shelves.
Yes, sir.
They're running ads like the law firms are running ads for, you can sue them for bad Similac. That's going to encourage them to
lawyers,
get more on the shelves.
Lawyers are important also. They have mouths.
So you're
to
saying
feed.
The lawyers are already on it, suing people, if you want to sue people over bad baby
moved
formula.
Moved on from the hernia mesh surgery, everything, just everything. They've moved on from everything that they've said, hot coffee, can sue for hot coffee. Now they're suing for bad Similac.
Let's go to break. One more segment of Wake Up Tucson. Bruce and Chris, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Bump Music Summer Festival tomorrow is UNV. So Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Little Toad the Wet Sprocket by request.
All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Christopher D. Simone and Bruce Ash. The last segment. Bruce, it's gone mildly fast, which is good.
Sort of, yeah. I think I've got myself in trouble at least two or three times.
You've gotten worse trouble in the past.
I have. And I didn't use any of those bad words that Matt needs to dump me today.
That's true. You did call Corey DeAngelis Tracy,
yeah.
Which was hot. But other than that, you were fine.
Well, I was wondering why there was no response from him for about 10 seconds or so. He was trying to figure out who the heck Tracy was.
It's like I heard that promo on the, I think it was 1330 The Jolt, where Kevin Dahl, the council guy, was coming on, but they said Jeff Dahl instead. That's how quote forgettable Kevin Dahl is. Even when you interview him, you don't
know
his name.
Wasn't the other guy Jeff Dial?
Or Jeffrey Dahmer, but that's the other one. That's Jeff Dahl.
That escalated quickly.
Thank you. All right, so tomorrow, Maxwell, Andy Biggs, Charles Heller is going to be here to talk about that big Second Amendment decision.
Was there a thing that happened last week with... Because I thought everything was about Roe v. Wade.
No. You tune in tomorrow. That's your tease. Schweikert on Thursday, Congressman Schweikert. And then Dave Hatfield, who used to be the, of course, he works at the airport now, but of course, he used to be my editor at Inside Tucson Business when I wrote a column. He worked at various different media.
You're going to relive those horrors with him?
All I want to know is he's going to be here with Ed Alexander as part of the history of Tucson broadcasting, and he will explain all the guff he used to get with me and Higgins writing that column. That's what I want to know about, because we really punch some people in the face.
What were you thinking when you wrote that article?
The same calls Patty gets here with me doing a radio show. But again, when we did things like the trio All Hat No Cattle, where we literally called them a bunch of bullcrappers on their numbers, and I assume, you know, Dave must have got some, you know, one of the, you know, the stiffs from from the trio board. Oh, this is very rough and
we're not used to being treated like this. I am the boss, you will obey.
You are correct. So Dave was so good. He wanted us to take up after Steve Emmerine, right? Remember Steve Emmerine used to write that column?
Those are hard shoes to fill.
Way hard shoes. Yeah. But Steve was kind of our muse because Steve was a Democrat, former Pima County treasurer, I believe, right? Worked in the media, right? Then started doing this column, and he spoke truth to power.
Yeah.
Right?
That's when a guy like Steve Emmerine was a guy like Steve Emmerine.
Right.
There aren't those guys around much anymore.
You're right. Right? If Tim Steller wrote one-tenth of the truth that Steve Emmerine wrote, this town would be better.
I agree.
If blue check Dylan Smith did one-tenth of what Steve Emmerine did, this would be a better place. Because there'd be someone in the media holding someone accountable once in a while.
Right. And did you agree with Steve all the time? No.
Right.
Okay. But you knew that he was well-sourced. He would go and get the information that other people are too lazy to, because he wants to really understand what the problem is.
Right. Well, it's kind of like Blake Morlock at Blue Check once in a while gets it, but he can't go all the way because he's the former head of the Democrat Party, because he can't totally crap on him. And then he has this weird admiration for the people who screwed it up, right? He's like, well, that's just kind of the way Dan Ekstrom does things, you know, and you're like, yeah, but the place is falling into the hole, bro.
Right? I love Blake Morlock. He would always try to give me political advice for the Republican Party when I was a party official.
Well, that's good.
Thanks, Blake, very much. I'm sure that'll work out just fine.
You know, we only have about a minute and a half, but I did give you some love when we were talking about what went down with, you know, three Supreme Court justices, and a lot of people voted for Trump basically for the shot at the Supreme Court, right? But I did give you a little love because you were part of the crew that held the line on changing the rules for the primary.
Right.
Because there were forces out there in the Republican Party that didn't want Trump.
At the top of the party. And actually, what a lot of people don't know is I was literally maybe the second call that Reince Priebus got when Scalia died. And I said, we must not allow another justice to be named by this president.
Right.
And we had several conversations after that as well. And thank God, Mitch McConnell, he did what he needed to do to save the Republic. Because had it not been for that, and that judges finally were going to be a key issue in a presidential campaign, look how that's turned out. Not for Republicans, but for America.
Well, and again, look at Merrick Garland as the AG right now. Train wreck.
That guy would have been an absolute menace had he been on the Supreme Court bench.
Remember, this is the guy who said that investigated parents who were complaining at school board meetings as, quote, domestic terrorists. That guy could have been your Supreme Court justice. So thanks for a nice time as always, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good week. When we come back tomorrow again, we have U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs at the 8 o'clock hour. So wake up.